It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Colin Woodall. Colin's with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Great to see you.
Always good to be with you, Tony.
Okay, let's talk about what's going on in D.C. this week. You've had a victory parade for the Capitals. That's a pretty big event.
It is a big event. It's the first national championship that the city has had, I believe, in over 30 years. So everybody is excited to see some sort of championship trophy return to Washington, D.C. And in this case, with the Capitals, they've been around for over 40 years, and this is their first championship. So it's been a lot of red running around the city as they support the team and congratulate them on their win.
Now, after that parade and after that parting, they may end up at a restaurant. Let's hope they find the real meat and the real beef and not the fake.
You know, you got it right, because here in Washington, D.C., we do have a lot of really good steakhouses, a lot of places to get a good hamburger. But you know what? We also have some places that are serving the fake meat. And that's a problem for us, because this is a top priority issue for NCBA to make sure that all of these companies that are involved in fake meat, whether that be a plant protein-based product or a lab-cultured product, are actually upfront with the consumer on what they're getting. We do not believe that's the case. More concerning is this product is not getting the same scrutiny and the same regulation that we are. And our concern is, if they really, truly want to play in this space, play in this arena with us, then they need to meet the exact same regulations that we do.
So if we're talking regulation, are we talking FDA or are we talking USDA?
We're talking USDA, and specifically on the lab-grown or cultured product, because there's still a lot of unknowns there on that overall product and what it could ultimately do. We need to make sure that it gets the exact same scrutiny as our product does each and every day. And that's the difference between FSIS, the Food Safety Inspection Service at USDA, and FDA. FDA inspections happen intermittently, whereas inspections at FSIS happen every single day, every moment that that plant is churning out product. So that is a key component here. Also, another component is making sure that they cannot use our nomenclature, our terms, the term beef in particular. We want to make sure that when they are advertising their product, that they are advertising what it is, and it's sure not beef.
Can we pull something from the dairy industry and the fact that you can buy almond milk or soy milk? Is there something that we've learned?
We've learned a lot in watching the milk industry, and that is why we have started this process early. Now, we do know that today you can go into just about any grocery store out there and find some sort of vegetable-based meat product. In some cases, they're using the term beef or beefy. FDA, because of the pressure we've been putting on USDA, has now stepped up, and they are going to start challenging those particular nomenclature uses. That's actually going to help the milk guys, too. So this is a great opportunity for us to partner together, help them make a little bit more progress than they have over the years, and again, just making sure that we are upfront and honest with the consumer. Now, we have to keep in mind that as an industry, the U.S. cattle business is all about innovation. We're all about technology. We like new ways to make our product better. So we're not against the fact that this product exists. We simply want it regulated. And more importantly, we want to make sure that they can't use our terms in promoting it to the consumer.
Hope I'm not getting over the skis right now out in front of them. But when we talk trade, we also talk about geographic indicators. And I know this isn't, beef is not a geographic indicator, but does it play into that as well?
Everything in Washington, D.C. sets a precedent for something else. That is the world we live in here, whether you're talking about regulations or legislation. So we always have to keep that in mind. But so far, the beef term has not been the concern that we have. It's actually in making sure that we don't overly restrict technology or innovation, because we're doing a lot of work with gene editing that has a lot of potential in our industry. That product will eventually also come to market. So we're trying to be very careful that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot down the line for a product that could be brought under this this lab culture type of definition. So that's why we have stepped back from attacking the innovation and have spent more time on the actual regulation.
So I guess I've opened the trade door. Let's talk trade. What do you see?
A lot of murky water right now. The trade situation is one where there is no clear path that the president has presented to us as an industry on where he's going. He's throwing a lot of rocks at a lot of people. When you look at the comments from not only the president, but also some of his cabinet-level officials after the G7 summit, we know that finishing NAFTA, the renegotiation of NAFTA, is not going to happen in 2018. There's a lot of sore egos right now, and we are getting way too close to this Mexican election for us to finish NAFTA. So NAFTA is still on the table, but it is doubtful we will see the new NAFTA until 2019. Now, of course, everybody right now is watching the president and Kim Jong-un and the unprecedented summit that they had. We also have known for quite some time that the president has the new renegotiated CORUS agreement. That's the U.S.-South Korea Free Trade Agreement that's been very beneficial to us. He has that in his pocket, and he has been using that as leverage for these discussions between North and South Korea. So we are hoping that the result of this summit was positive enough that he will pull it out of his pocket and actually implement it. And if that's the case, if we can see that, I think that will help us in our feelings, knowing that in regards to other trade agreements, nothing really is going to come up here in 2018.
So when we talk trade, no idea. Yeah, I mean, I'm pulling this from you, but really no idea what direction the trade agenda is going. But we did hear the president talk about, forget that, let's just go one-on-one. U.S., Mexico, U.S., Canada. Is there any, first, is that a possibility? And second, could it be good?
It is a possibility. It could be good. And it could be something we could live with. The problem that we foresee is the timing that it takes to go through that process. If we abandon NAFTA and we go towards these individual bilateral agreements, you basically start from scratch. And when you look at the history of bilateral agreements, it can take easily 6, 7 or more years to finalize that. We don't want that kind of uncertainty in dealing with Canada and Mexico, who are two of our closest trading partners, especially when you look at cattle and beef. So that's why our push and our message to the president is, let's not abandon what's working. Let's try to finish this out, keep it in place, and then we can start looking at bilaterals on countries such as Japan, where we do think that we have a good opportunity to jump in and start looking at increased access, and also the United Kingdom. With Brexit coming up, this is a perfect opportunity for us to work in a bilateral there. Let's put our efforts there on bilaterals. Let's try to preserve what we have with NAFTA.
Okay, so let's move from trade to Farm Bill. House Farm Bill is not across the finish line. It's also not dead yet, so it's barely dead at this point. Senate about to tee theirs up. What do you see?
We're seeing a lot of opportunity left here. We are not done with this process by any means, but also there is enough progress being made that an extension of the current bill is not necessarily a given. For quite some time now, people have said, well, we're just going to extend the 2014 bill, maybe into 2019 or longer. But if you look at the Senate action in particular, we didn't even have a bill a week ago. Now we have not only a bill, we have a markup that's going to take place of that bill. And the majority leader, Mitch McConnell, has already said he's going to put it on the floor just as soon as possible. So we could go within a matter of a couple of weeks from having nothing to a bill finalized by the Senate. That is a good tee up for a conference throughout July, possibly August and into September, and getting that bill before the September 30th deadline is in place. But you had mentioned a key component, and that is what's going to happen on the House side. The House tried. It failed. It failed because there were people that wanted to have an immigration vote first. The leadership is working feverishly to put that in place. Once that happens, then hopefully we can get a positive vote on the farm bill and then force that conference committee and hopefully not have to worry about an extension of a bill right in the middle of an election year.
Really, ag at this point has been a pawn in the farm bill and a pawn in the trade talks. Can we get all this across the finish line? Quit playing chess, at least with cattle producers?
We can, because we were also a pawn in the tax discussions last fall. And when we really started digging into that particular bill and the markup of that bill by the House and Senate, a lot of old-time lobbyists in Washington, D.C. said there's no way that this bill will be finished. There's no way we will get a tax bill. And lo and behold, it happened. So we have seen that model of ag being a pawn, but still getting across the goal line before. So that's why I say we remain optimistic that we can finish this farm bill. And we do, even with all the uncertainty, remain optimistic that the president can deliver for us on trade when it comes to agriculture. And we are certain that we've had enough conversations with him that he gets what trade means to us in our bottom line.
Looking forward to the day you say checkmate. Good to see you.
Always good to see you too, Tony.
Colin Woodall, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, on today's Agribusiness Report.